They say that state governments lose elections, oppositions rarely win them. The 2009 Queensland election looked like that might very much be the case. The coalition, which had managed only a cricket team of elected representatives at times in the 80s and 90s, finally got its act together. The Liberal and National Party merged, but fatally kept on Lawrence Springborg as leader. Nevertheless, over the course of 2008, support for the Liberal National Party was on the rise and more than doubled in strength. Bly called the election early, hoping to return to office before the ravages of the global economic downturn hit. Her timing was pretty good, but during the campaign, Labor's electoral whiz kids resorted to the whinging Wendy routine, and they passed over a fine line. In a series of aggressive television ads, they started putting words into people's mouths. It did not go down well. When I first saw the ads, I thought Labor would surely lose. Added to this, Labor had promised to build the Tarraviston Dam and in so doing flood the pristine Merri Valley to alleviate southeast Queensland's water shortages. The Goss Labor government had come to grief over a similarly courageous infrastructure decision. In the last week of the campaign, most newspapers were predicting a knife-edge election. And then came Tropical Cyclone Hamish, smack dab in the final stages of the election. The master of the MV Pacific Adventurer, carrying 60 containers of ammonium nitrate, foolishly tried to ride through the cyclone. The vessel lost half of its containers overboard, all of which had to be salvaged, and when one of the containers hit the side of the ship, millions of litres of oil spilled out. Within days, the mile-long greasy oil slick hit polluting the beaches of Queenslanders' beloved Moreton, Bribie and Stradbroke Islands. Wildlife was killed or endangered. The coast off Brisbane was a mess. What was Bly going to do about it? At the eighth hour of the election campaign, a massive environmental repair and salvage operation had to be launched by the caretaker government. We can only imagine the effect this would have had on Labor's campaign office. Such an event would have sunk most government election campaigns. But in effect, it was a good thing for Bly. She showed an unusual cool under pressure. And the Pacific Adventurer catastrophe meant that the insiders and apparatchiks had to let Bly lead, and lead she did. At the 11th hour, Bly pulled the election out of the fire for Labor. In the last 3 days of the campaign, she personally toured 30 marginal electorates. She put herself forward. It was a signature piece, exemplifying the way she has worked since being elected to Parliament. Sheer hard work and discipline and genuineness won the day. The machine is reported to have finally let Anna be Anna. Thank you. The veteran Courier-Mail journalist Des Horton wrote, "Bligh is a paradoxical political figure, hugely familiar but still, in many respects, utterly inscrutable. We seem to know her, yet we don't." Maybe now Bligh has won an election in her own right, we will get to know her better. Perhaps she will start to define some long-term programs and ideas that she is passionate about. Perhaps, and hopefully, that will be one of the outcomes of letting Anna be Anna. Current Australian Labor is empty inside. Post-Whitlam Labor government is so much about managing image that it has lost its heart, its vision, and its soul. It's ironical to look back on Anna Maria Bligh's mentor, Anne Marie Warner's speeches in opposition against the Bjelke-Petersen regime. Many of Warner's charges, not all, but some, of low taxes, shallow rhetoric, injustices to women, lack of infrastructure, and an appalling lack of leadership in relation to Aboriginal politics and people, may well just as well apply to the Labor administrations post-Peterson. Labor frequently harks back to the imagery of social justice, but there is no contemporary distinguishing principles, intellectual vision, or long-term view. Even more importantly, there is no action. It is almost puke-making to hear the insiders and comrades rattling off the rhetoric. In some ways, Bligh typifies managerial labour. It's been a fast ride with little time to catch a breath. She summed up her political philosophy, and perhaps a credo for the current generation of Labour women politicians. She said, quote, "My view is that you have to be prepared. If the train stops at the station and you have a chance to get on it, you get on it. You also have to be prepared for the fact that the train mightn't stop," end of quote. And in a way, this is precisely the problem. How is it possible for politicians to really connect with a community or to build an agenda within the whirlwind of the Labor corporate train? Sure, you can have gimmicks like community cabinets and ideas summits to ostensibly involve people in government decision-making, but there are no ongoing organic linkages anymore. The Labor Party membership, which might have once been this bridge and this contact point and this point of development, has, like factionalism itself, simply become a means to an end. Most thinking members have left the party or given up a long time ago. But if you take the long view of Bligh, then perhaps she is a real hope. She is still young. Perhaps the best is young yet to come. In the last 3 days of the campaign and in her victory speech, a new confidence seemed to emerge.